Well, we'd try to do a little teaching tonight, if you'll go with me. I think I'll ask you first to go to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll look at maybe a couple of verses on the subject here tonight I want to talk to you about. We're supposed to not only try to get folks saved, but we're supposed to teach them how to grow in the Lord, and the Scripture tells us commands us and makes some promises along the line, but it commands us to walk in the light. Now, the light is the good side. And the opposite of it is the bad side, the darkness. And light in itself, even as we think about what we little bit we know about light, it's an unusual thing. One interesting attribute of light is you can't crook it. In other words, it's going to be honest all the time. It's going to shine straight all the time. I remember when we were doing the village over here and we had to put in the plumbing underground and all that. And some of them pipes pretty good size. And yet, according to the rules, they got to be straight. So how did, you know, you put in 100-foot of pipe, it's going to wiggle a little bit. You got to get it straight. How do you know if it's straight? Well, you use the light test of it, because light won't bend. And so you go down to the end of the pipe and set up a light. They call it, the old days, they called it the lantern test. Now they got lasers. But anyway, set up a light down there. And then you get back at this end and you look through it. If you don't see the light, you got a crooked pipe. You get it straight, and the more straight it'll be, sometime you'll see an edge, which is like kind of a half moon, but you get it just perfect, you'll see the whole thing, because you can't cheat the light. It's going to always tell you the truth. So when Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, and then he tells us to walk in the light. So I want you to look at Ephesians 5:8. We're just going to pick a few verses and say a few things about it. In Ephesians 5:8 here, it says, for you were sometimes darkness. That's all of us that, before we got saved. But now are you light in the Lord. And here's the command, walk as children of light. We've been born again, the family of God. We have the right, the privilege, the command. And he even tells us how to walk in the light. Now, you know, there's a lot of folks that think they... And I see some of this on TV, and it's not good sometimes. I see folks thinking that they are going to command God, almost threaten God, to give them what they want. And while they're doing that, they're walking in darkness all the time and not pleasing God. The Lord talks about honoring them and honor him. And boy, it's a hard thing for even believers to get a hold of sometimes. But I go over to 1 John, verse I hope you can quote, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's not talking about getting your sins forgiven when you get saved, but it's talking about walking in the light instead of, as a believer, walking in darkness and causing other people to wonder if you're really saved or not, and then sometimes even yourself. Be careful you don't think that you're commanding God, you just use him as a fire escape, and then you use him for a big Santa Claus to give you every gift you want. I think about the little boy that was wanting a bicycle so bad, and his mother told him, pray about it. So he did pray about it, and he'd say, well, I didn't get one yet. And she'd say, well, you keep asking God for it. So one day he went down in front of the Catholic Church. Nobody was looking. He took his coat off and threw it over one of the little statues of Mary, kidnapped it and took it home and put it in his closet. And then he got down to pray. He said, now, God, if you want to see your mother again, you better give me a bicycle. Now, we laugh about that. But some folks seem to think they can do God that way. They can extort him. They can blackmail him. They can threaten him. And he's going, no, 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 no. You want to be in right relationship where God hears your prayers, you walk in the light. That's what you commanded. And so the question comes, how do we know the light? Where do we get the light from? You see, when we get saved, the old flesh isn't saved. That's why folks like me get older and uglier all the time. And don't laugh, some of you are doing well, good job of that too. But what I'm saying to you is this body is not saved. It's got to go to the ground. It's going to be changed when the Lord calls it out. In the meantime, it's giving me a heap of trouble. And it will you. But there's a part of me inside, believe it or not, that's perfect. Yeah, you heard a preacher the other day in our Bible conference talking about God wants to communicate with the inner man. The one that is his seed that doesn't sin. The flesh does sin, and there's nobody that doesn't. And that don't excuse it. That don't make it right. The more we walk in the light, the less we'll sin, and the better fellowship we'll have with the Lord. You understand that, I think. As a kid growing up, when you were obedient and the parents were smiling at you, that was sweet fellowship. Did any of you like me ever dread supper time when you knew Dad was coming home? I did. Mama said, I'm going to tell your daddy on you. And she had plenty to tell, so she could run my supper. I sit there and look at the plate and eat instead of looking at him. Now, you know, I ought to have known he was smart enough to know what was going on, and he was. But some of us don't look at God. We just want to dodge it, you know. But if you're in fellowship with him, you don't dread it. You look forward even to it. And let me just say this. I'll say this, tell you some sources, basically three, that you can get help with knowing what the light is. But let me also say this, and this is a little truth that I might can illustrate for you. If God gives you light and you walk in it, he'll give you more light. You reject it, and he don't give you any more. That's where you stop. You get saved, and you hear the preacher preach about living for the Lord, and you start picking up little things, and what you're doing, you get more light, and you step forward, more light, more light, more light. But then suddenly, that's too hard to do. That's where you stop. Don't get any more light, because you started rejecting. Oh, let me have you young men right here on the front help me a minute. Four of you, stand up right here. Just stand up. I'm not going to do you bad. Don't get scared. Just stand up here a minute and see if I can get this microphone loose right here. In fact, walk on down this way with me. See how much cord I got here. Just kind of line up facing you right here. Come on up. Here's what I want to say to you. You're saved, you've been born again, and once that happens, then God's going to give you some more light. So you get saved, you get born again, and the next thing you know, the preacher preaches that you ought to be a tither. Are you going to say yes to that? All right, then step this way. Just park yourself right there. How about you? You're going to hear the preacher preach that you ought to be a tither and a giver to missions. Are you going to do that?
Yes, sir.
All right, you step up here. But I can look at these and tell they're not going to make it. So I'm going to leave them standing right where they heard the same message, right?
Yes, sir.
But these moved up, and these are still standing here. Now you're going to hear this. You're going to hear the preacher preach, you ought to be faithful to church. I mean, it's important. It's what Jesus started. It's the most important thing there is. And you're going to serve him through it. Now you're going to do that. All right, move on forward. Now how about you? I can look at him and tell he's not. He just stopped right there. Now, you're going to hear the preacher say not only that you ought to tithe and be faithful to church, but that you ought to be a soul winner. You're going to do that? All right, move on this way. Now, you get the picture, don't you? These are at one level. He stepped up a little bit, but he stopped. This one's continuing to go. You got the picture? Now, when God gives you the light, you step up. And you now, there's some of you out there saying amen, and you stopped way back here. And some of you stopped way back here. And some of you are saying right now, I don't believe that. Okay, just stay parked. You will stay parked. You won't, like the little boy stealing the statue of Mary, you won't intimidate God. You won't blackmail him. You won't threaten him. You won't change his word. You'll stay right where you parked yourself. Now, I can come back over here, and maybe they've got a little bit convicted, and I say, now, are y'all going to be tithers? Okay, move on up here. Okay. Now, how about you? Are you going to be faithful to church? All right, you can move on up. You getting the picture out there? He's not obligated to give you more light till you live up to the light. And like I'm saying, some of you, you're saved. I got no doubt about that. You just once in a while call yourself a tither. When the bills are paid and when you got a little left over, that's not a tithe. You understand that? So you parked yourself. You get mad at me if you want to. I'm just telling you where you parked yourself. And God's not obligated to give you any more light. Right? Now, when it comes to being faithful to the house of God, what does it take to knock you out, keep you from being faithful? All the excuses you can give me, I don't know. But God knows all about it. So some are parked here, some are parked here, and some just keep on. Every time they learn something else, every time they see a little more light, they move. And I'll tell you what, that's a wonderful fellowship to have. Show it to me, God, I'll obey it. Give me the light, I'll walk in it. It'll work. All right, thank you, man. Thank you. Let's be seated back here. And Scripture says, unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And when God knows how much light he gave you, and if you don't act on it, you're not fooling him. And sad truth is, too many folks think they are. Now, where do we get the light from? Well, of course, we get it from God's word. The word is light. Now, Jesus is the living word. This is the written word. Basically, no difference. If you get it in here, it's the same thing as if Jesus walked up to you and told you. It's his word. And when the devil was tempting him, remember when he was trying to get him to bow down to him and worship him? He'd give him all the kingdoms of the world. You remember that? Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Every word. So the word is light. And if you're going to get light, the more you get in the Bible, read it and believe it, the more light you've got to walk in. It's just that simple. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And then over in verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that's Jesus. So when I read in his Word, it's just as if he was standing there talking to me. He's talking to me through his Word. Now I'm going to get my light, my direction from the Bible, from the Word. Truth of God's word is what we have to accept. Now, if you read the Bible like we used to have to eat old-fashioned fish. Now, I know they fillet them now, but in the old days, you didn't waste nothing. But you did learn to pick the bone out. And some of you go to the Bible and you pick out what you lack and you throw away what you don't, and that's not going to work. You're trying to make the light crooked. You're trying to intimidate the light and change it, and it's not going to change for you. It's going to stay straight. It's going to stay honest. And so you get the light to walk in his word. The scripture said there, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And again, not talking about the lost sinner, talking about the Christian that ought to confess his sin so he can walk in the light. And so we get light from his word, from the Bible. There's another place you get the light from, and that's the Holy Spirit. Amen. Say, well, what do you mean? Well, if you're saved, you're born again by the Spirit of God. He lives within you. And how many of you, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but we've all done this. How many of you know from the inside out when you've grieved the Holy Spirit? Don't you? I can stand rebuke from a lot of people, and sometimes may have needed that. But boy, it hurts when the Holy Spirit rebukes me. I mean, that's the thing that'll make you lay awake at night and pray and ask God to forgive you, and you wish you hadn't done it. And by the way, it don't have to be a big thing in the eyes of man, but if it's big enough, the Holy Spirit grieves you over it. It's something you better take notice of. And you will know it. If you don't, you wonder. I would wonder if the Holy Spirit's never grieved you about something, I'd really wonder whether or not you've been born again by the Spirit of God, because He chastens every son He receives, the Bible says. And there's that time you displease Him that He lets you know it. Now, here's the thing. We will sometimes slip up and do wrong. And the worst thing is when we premeditate to do it. We sin against the light. We know what was right, but we did it anyway. Well, I can cut this particular corner. I can just shade this a little bit. And then the Holy Spirit grieves you over it. You've sinned against the light. You knew better. You knew better. I will admit to you, I think there's some folks, new converts, that sometime do a lot, and we need to give them time to grow. And we say, hey, that's wrong. Well, if they're really born again and God's Spirit is within them, He's going to rebuke them also. I've said this many times. When I got saved, I didn't know anything about the Bible, but I knew something happened to me on the inside. I knew I'd undergone a change. All of a sudden, I wanted to do what the preacher said and believe what he was saying against coming in as a critic. I mean, when I got saved, it made a difference. But it took me a while to find out what was in God's will and what wasn't. And that's true with all of us. And we ought to give people time to grow. And if they want to follow the light, I said it a while ago, illustrated it with the young man here. If they act on what light He gives them, He'll give them more. Amen. If they don't, He'll stop it right there. It's sort of like it, a school. If you don't pass the first grade, you stay in it until you do. Right. Now, not so much anymore, but in the old days you did. And there's some kids enjoyed the fourth grade for 4 years, you know. In the old days, you done it or you stayed there. It's a little bit different now, but in God's school, it's still the old-fashioned way. Learn it before you move on. Obey it before you move on. Act on it, He'll give you some more. Now, the Holy Spirit lives within us. The Bible tells us that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, Romans 8. We understand that. And we understand that He's within us. Therefore, we can count on Him giving light. Now, let me ask you this in your own experience. I don't know hardly how to word it, but sometimes, even before you remember reading it in the Word, you know something's wrong, right? Even before you hear maybe the preacher say it, you know it's wrong. Well, that's the Holy Spirit on the inside. When I got saved, there were some things I had to stop, not because the preacher hadn't got around yet to preach it on them, but the Holy Spirit got to me real quick, because He was on the inside. And that's the difference. And live up to that light, He'll give you some more. That's His promise. Over in, let me see, Matthew 6. Let's go over there. So many verses. If you want to, you young preacher men especially, if you want a subject you won't be able to handle in one sermon or several sermons, study a lot on the light. What the Bible says. Look in a concordance and you will find a long list of verses that's got the word light in it. There's a lot of truth concerning the light. Over in Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 22. Verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. Okay, we understand that in a physical way. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now, the Lord often takes something physical, like the eyeball here, and then he makes a spiritual application out of it. If therefore thine eye be single, now do you understand that what he's saying here is not just the physical eye? He moves to the spiritual on this. If the light of the body is the eye, if therefore thine eye is single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Then the opposite truth begins with the word but, crosses the street. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? It's an amazing thing, even though he mixes the illustration in with the physical eye. Did any of you in Sunday school growing up, did you ever learn, be careful, little eyes, what you see? Boy, that's deep theology. Because that's the light entering into the body. You take some stuff, the eye, that's what got Eve in trouble in the garden, wasn't it? She looked and saw that it was pleasant to the eye. Wow. And we've been in trouble ever since, right? One of the woman livers was saying to a preacher, she heard him preach, didn't like it. She said, I don't know where you men would be if it wasn't for us women. He said, ma'am, we'd be back in the garden with no sin, no problems. Well, a little truth there, a little truth there. The truth is that what we let in the eye affects the rest of the body. And I'm going to tell you something. We're in the day and age where that is a problem. We're in the picture age, holding the pictures in your hand, seeing them on TV. And here's the problem. You can say it won't affect me, but it will. You let it in, and the devil will call it back and make you look at it again, and make you look at it again. And you won't win by doing that. First place, you stopped walking in the light when you did that. And God's going to leave you parked right there until you get it right. And I'll tell you the truth. There's never been an age that young men especially needed to guard their eyes than this age. And you'll win by doing it. The flesh will scream bloody murder. But spiritually, the spiritual man, the inner man, will be blessed if you'll control that. Pornography today is one of the, every preacher can tell you, and it works right in some of the best men that are saved and serving God, and the devil's always right there at the eye gate. We call it the eye gate, right there knocking on the door to get you to look at something that you shouldn't look at. And if, before you know it, it's flashed right before you. You've got to be willing to divert and get away from. You know, the book of Job said that he made a covenant with God that he would not look upon a maid. Now, that don't mean that he didn't see a female and recognize a female, but it meant he didn't linger and look too much. Somebody said you can't help the birds flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. That means you don't let it linger. You don't stay with it, because if you do, it's going to win. Guarantee you, the flesh is strong. It's going to win. So where do we get light? We get it from His Word. Where do we get light? We get it from the Holy Spirit, the warning on the inside. And then I'll tell you something else. Don't discount this too much. You can get light from others that are walking in the light. That's why it's so important to pick your friends. If they're not walking in the light, they can't help you. And they'll get you parked on the side, because you'll go up right where they're at and stop if you're not careful. And God uses other people. He may use them and they don't know He's using them. He may use them on you and you don't know He's using them. But to get help from a godly, Christ-honoring person is a very real thing. Now, don't make the mistake of making a crutch out of everybody. They can't do it for you, but they can help you know what the lighted path is, what the right way is. And very important. I think back in my growing as a young Christian, and still today, sometimes I see somebody that's saved and loves God do something that admonishes me, and I think, boy, that was Christian character. That was right. That was good. And I learned from that. And we all can do that. That's why, though, we ought to be careful who our friends are. Too many young people especially. Well, I got to get down there and go to the party to help them. Oh, no. You go to the wrong place, you're not helping them. You're hurting them. You party with them the wrong way, then you have destroyed their hope of seeing a difference in you that might cause them to surrender to the Lord. The devil loves to take a saved person, I'm talking about genuinely born again, and keep them from walking in the light because he don't want them to be shining to somebody else to follow him. He wants to mess it up. That's his biggest thing, is to keep somebody's testimony down. And it's a sad thing, but it does work that way. Now, you say, well, how do I know who to listen to? Well, all right. How are they doing? How are they walking? What kind of life are they living? How do they talk? How do they dress? Where do they go? Are they faithful to God's house? You got all kind of test questions, and you don't have to ask them. You just have to observe them. Look at them. What are they doing? And I'll tell you what, you'll see somebody God's blessing in their life. It may not be giving them a new Cadillac or sack of gold, but you'll see God's blessings on them. You'll see it in their attitude and their personality. You'll see the things they like and the things they won't be a part of. And you can get light from somebody else. A great day. I remember right on up into Bible school and other times, without ever telling some particular person that I was watching them, I couldn't help but watch them. I was looking for light. And I can give you a lot of names of people that was light to me. Showed me what was the clean and decent and right way to go instead of the wrong way. And so don't sell it short. You can have good friends. You can have some folks that are not even necessarily that close a friend to you. I remember a guy saying he was debating, like I said here with the young men a while ago, he was debating the tithing thing, whether he was going to tithe. And he said, well, it was his dad. This boy told a story. Now, he was a teenager. And he said, I had a job, but he said, I didn't make much. And I didn't see why God want me to give him 10% of that. You know, I need every bit of it. He said, I went to my dad one day and told him I had whatever the need was. And he said, Daddy, I need to borrow some money. And he said, my dad said, I ain't got any money. He said, oh, Daddy, you always got money. No, I don't have any, son. I can't loan you any. Well, he said, I know you got some money. So his dad pulled out his billfold, and he opened it up. And sure enough, there was some money in it. And the boy said, see there, I told you you had some money. He said, that's not my money. That's God's. I'm saving that for Sunday. I don't have any. He said, that boy said, I never got away from that. Never got away from that. I could tell a few stories like that. That was a testimony. It was real to his dad. And you know, most folks are wanting to see if it's real. They come to church and hear us sing. They come to church and hear us pray. But they want to see the test. Is it really real? And that's the hard thing on the flesh. But is it really real? You can get light from somebody that has their own values set, and they love God, and they're following the Lord. And the Bible tells us, you ought to be able to quote the verse over in Matthew 5:16, that we're to let our light so shine before men that it'll cause them to glorify the Father, right? Somebody's watching. Somebody's watching. No telling how many kids grew up in a Christian home and they saw mom and dad come to church and act religious at church, but not so much at home. And boy, that is the devil's playhouse. And that's why too many times Christian families lose their kids when they grow up. I've had it. I don't go to church no more. I don't believe it's real. That's a terrible thing. And the devil has really used that. Somebody's watching. Some kid, some family member, some neighbor, they're watching. I read the story years ago where a guy had been in prison for whatever reason, and this happens to so many. In prison, somebody came in and presented the gospel, and he got saved. Now, we've had prison minister here through the years, and we've seen this happen so many times. We got missionaries and preachers on the field now that got saved in jail listening to us on the radio. Come out, went to college, and wound up preaching. That's a wonderful testimony. In this particular case, this man was in prison, whatever, for a period of a few years. And he got saved in prison. And he really got saved. He started growing in the Lord. He started Bible study. He started living the Christian life amongst all the bad stuff in prison. And finally, he came down to where he got paroled or served his sentence, whichever. And the day the guards walked him out to the gate to let him go, his time was up. At the gate, another prisoner was standing there that he'd met and knew in the prison. And as he walked out of the gate, he said goodbye to him, but he handed him a note. So after he got outside the prison and stuck his hand in his pocket later, he pulled out the note. And the note said, "I've watched you for the last several years. When you came in and when you made a profession of receiving Christ, I said there's just another prisoner wanting to make his way out on religion, to fake his way out on religion. But," he said, "I've watched you this long time, and I've seen you really live for God, and I believe it was real. And because of that, I'm accepting Christ as my Savior too." What a testimony. Because he walked in the light, even on the situation of prison. Somebody else was watching. His light was shining before men, that they could see that light and glorify the Father, which was in heaven. That's really real. It's not only good to reach other souls that way, but the best life you're going to live after you get saved is walking in the light. And when you know you've got outside it, find your way back. You know, "I've been parked here all this long time. What parked you? Where was it? What was it that you disobeyed in and you got stopped and you're still there? You're still there. Wouldn't it be better just keep on walking in the light? God's got something good for you. The devil wants to trip you up, but trust the Lord and keep doing right. Amen. Father, may you add your blessing now to your word. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Brother Hector, you won't.